Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm in.
So I, you know, because I'm not, you know. So that was my.
That's great.
So now it's part of the deal. So that's, yes.
That's outstanding.
Yes.
Wichita wins.
So that's why I don't skate at the East Aurora ice rink.
Okay. We finally got back around to it, but yeah, there it is. I'm just surprised being as athletic as you were or are.
Hey.
You know what I mean? Like,
no, it's a were.
But being, you know, coming from an athletic background like that, you should be, I mean, you just have the inherent innate balance to pick that up quickly, I would think, especially in a recreational
sense.
I
can do it. I mean, I can skate around the, but no.
I'm not pirouetting either, but.
Right. I mean, I can't really stop that well.
Well, that's what the wall's there for.
And I'm, right. So there you go. So
that's I kind of play it the same.
But anyway, I'm interested to hear what people are doing to pass the time.
Yeah. So
I mean, streaming services. I should have bought stock.
So we'll do that. We'll take those suggestions in addition to who you believe is the number one X factor for the Bills or what. It doesn't have to be a who. It could be a what also. You know, like it could be something like the Bills return game, or
right.
I mean, it could be anything. Any component of either team. Could be the difference. You know, maybe it's the Bills' certain personnel grouping that you like in this matchup. Like maybe it's 10 personnel. I think 10 personnel is the X factor for the Bills because, you know, the Ravens don't have four corners that they can put out there to cover our guys. Whatever you think it is, it's a what, it's a who. It could even be like momentum. I mean, I don't know. Whatever you think it is, we're taking
position,
taking any and all comers here.
Yeah, it's a chance for you to give us an insight as to what Bills fans think this game is going to look like when they say what the X factor is going to
be. So we lead off with Joe in North Carolina at 803-0550. Joe, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Yeah, I'm out here in North Collins.
North Collins, sorry.
I'd like your opinion on this Deshaun Watson, what's going on down there, him wanting out. You know, when you sign a contract to play on a team, you agree to money, you agree to length of the contract, you agree to be that employee like we all were or are at some time. I never heard of asking an employee who should be the boss and who should be the GM. I don't understand that. I get a little upset watching these talk shows before your show comes on, and they're all talking about, yeah, he should leave, he's not happy with it, he's being disrespected. Wait a minute. Play the game. If you don't like what's going on with the coach or the GM or the organization, if you feel like you're being not respected, then don't sign another contract. Go to a different team. You know, remember, Jim Kelly didn't want to play in the cold. It took him a while. He came here eventually, and he loved it. So, but he did what a respectable person would do. He just said, no, I'm not going there. I don't understand. I get a little upset listening to all this Deshaun Watson and he should leave and all that. I'm just looking for your comment on it.
Yeah.
Hang up and listen to what you guys got to say. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, no
thanks,
problem,
Joe. Yeah, here's the thing, and he's right. I mean, it's hard for anybody to get behind an athlete who's making $156 million over the next 4 years or 5 years to complain about, you know, what's going on. But here's what you got to know, too. Deshaun Watson became – generationally wealthy the moment he got drafted, and now it's about more than that for him. And plus it's also about watching the company you work for
make some ill-advised decisions,
just fumble and stumble and do stupid things. Or that, and I've heard this too about Easterby, the guy that's in charge down there, there's some doubts about his, you know,
qualifications,
his qualifications, and what his real qualifications are, and what his real motivations are. So certainly, and here's another thing too: the Texans have misplayed this for 2 years. Certainly, trading away DeAndre Hopkins, trading for Laremy Tunsil, although he's a good player, they traded him without a contract. I mean, he was going to have all kinds of leverage in that deal. I mean, they've done some things that do not make business sense for an NFL team. They did two or three of them in a row. And then the other thing they did wrong was, by and large, by all the reports, they told Deshaun Watson that he was going to – they wanted him to be in this. They said,
part
yeah,
of the decision
we're
going to
let
process.
You be part of the decision, because they knew, you know, they needed this guy on board with them. And then they went around him and stabbed him in the back and did something else.
Well, they hired Nick Caserio without contacting him at all, and he was told he was going to be part of the vetting process for a GM.
And all of this too, anybody, and you, Joe, and North Collins, and me, and Brownie, if you're lied to out and out by your employers – how much of a right do you have to be angry, no matter what your contract says? That's where Deshaun Watson is right now.
And I think, you know, he said, well, you signed the contract. Well, when he signed the contract, that was 2 years ago. The dynamics have changed dramatically with that organization. Since he signed that contract, they got rid of his best receiver for a running back and a draft choice that was not considered to be equal value by anybody on the planet. They fired the head coach. Whether he liked him or not is unclear. And then he was told here that he was going to be part of the rebuilding process in terms of who they were going to hire as general manager and who they were going to hire as a head coach. He was left in the dark for the better part of the last 2 weeks. We all find out Nick Caserio is the new GM, and he's like, what the hell's going on? I thought I was going to be talked to about this.
Right.
So that's why he's so disgruntled. And
not only that, they hired a very expensive consulting firm to vet the process of all the candidates. The firm made a recommendation, and the Texans picked the guy that was off their radar completely. And they just went completely away from the expensive professionals who gave them the advice that they paid for. They went off the page and hired somebody else. So Deshaun's sitting there going, not only do you not talk to me, the people you did talk to, you ignored.
Yeah. And I think the other thing at work here is players in professional sports wield more power than maybe they ever have before. It started with superstar athletes as far back as like 1980. I remember Magic Johnson got into it with his head coach, Paul Westhead, with the Lakers. And it was Magic or Paul Westhead. Guess who the organization sided with? Magic Johnson. And then they won five NBA championships.
Think about more recently.
And but I'm saying that's
Wentz, Carson Wentz,
right,
and Doug Peterson.
But that's
you can't afford to get rid of Carson Wentz.
That's how long it's been going.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happened for the better part of the last 30, 40 years. And more often than not, the player wins, especially when he has the level of cachet that Deshaun Watson has. Even in a league where there aren't fully guaranteed contracts in most cases. There's a lot of guaranteed money in Deshaun Watson's current contract. Let's not kid ourselves. But at the quarterback position, that player wields more power than some might realize. And we've seen it time and time and time again, where a player usually wins and coach and or front office executive more often than not loses.
Yeah.
And this is another example of that. And that's why the Houston Texans should take this disappointment on the part of Watson very seriously. Otherwise, he's going to demand to be out. And once you have a player that doesn't want to be there anymore, you can't fix it. It's very hard to fix. It creates an acrimonious atmosphere. It drags down your entire team. It's a distraction that cannot be avoided or ignored, and you just have to move on. And after finally getting it right in the draft, with getting a franchise quarterback who's one of the five best signal callers in the league, They got a lot of fixing to do in a hurry. Otherwise, it's going to become irreparable. And it may be there already. We don't know. So enough about that. We have to take a break. But we will get to our phone calls when we return. So those of you holding at 803-0550, let us know what you feel is the number one X factor in this Bills-Ravens game on Saturday, besides the two QBs. Back with your phone calls when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
WGR Sports Radio 550. All sports, all the time.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Thanks to this week's game sponsor, Pepsi, the official soft drink of the Buffalo Bills. Game sponsor this week for Saturday night's game. And we want to get right back to the phones because we have people holding at 803-0550 as we are asking you, besides the quarterbacks, what is the number one X factor for the Bills? What's the number one X factor for the Ravens on Saturday night? We go to Ralph down in Georgia. Ralph, what do you have for us here on One Bills Live? Ralph, are you there, my friend? Okay, we'll put Ralph on hold. Ralph! I heard somebody.
I thought I heard a rustle.
Is that you, Ralph?
Stop.
I don't think he's
not
there.
On.
Oh, boy.
I hope. You always get the feeling that guy's laying there clutching his chest or something. He can't answer the right.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
I don't want to make light of it. Ralph.
I hope Ralph's okay.
Laid the phone down and went to the bathroom at least.
Yeah,
maybe
well,
something.
Yeah. Who knows? We've got all.
Because we do get calls once in a while where they say, don't take the call. Because whoever it is listening to the show,
yeah, they just
online,
want to listen to the show.
They just want to listen to the show. So, which is
maybe that was Ralph. Who knows?
Maybe.
We go from Ralph to Colton in Baltimore, and we do this with caution. But Colton, what do you have? You're on One Bills Live.
I think that the X factor. Oh, thank you for having me on.
No worries.
The X factor for this game is the linebacking core. Tremont using his 6'5", 250 frame to make a brick wall for the elusive running backs and Lamar Jackson to stop them for a minimal game this week. I'm afraid of the Ravens defense because I watch them every week. I'm in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of the passing game. I'm afraid of that backfield. That's it.
Tell me why you're not afraid of Baltimore's defense. What has you so confident?
I'm watching these games, and sometimes they look lost. They're not consistent. They'll have really good games, and they'll have really bad games. They're not consistent.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Appreciate the call, Colton.
Thanks, Colton.
I will say this, based on what Colton was addressing, he talked about the importance of Tremaine Edmonds as far as slowing down their rushing attack, and I would tend to agree with that. I thought Coach Frazier had some interesting comments this week when he addressed the media. He was talking about the importance of Edmonds and Milano in trying to really kind of keep this rushing attack under wraps, just the amount of ground they can cover, getting to spots, even in open space, trying to be secure, fundamentally sound tacklers. We saw Milano's playing time go up to about 100% last week. I mean, he's finally all the way back, and the timing couldn't be better for this team, I think.
Right. You're right. Milano is arriving right on time. I think the thing with this is, and I see it a lot, is you've got to find a way to make Lamar go sideways. You can't give him that because he's a great runner of the football. He's a quarterback. He can throw the football, but when he's got the ball tucked under his arm, he's a really good runner. Even by running back standards, he's good. He's faster than most of them. He's big. And he's shifty as well, so he can leave you standing still. And there's, the highlight that you've been playing, that we've seen a bunch about last year's Week 14 match, was when Milano comes through untouched. Lamar gives him a little shimmy right in a phone booth, and Milano just whiffs. He just falls down. Like, you can't lunge at Lamar. You got to let him run to you. And that means you've got to have guys herding him. Like
that's
the hard part.
The thing that throws people off about him is, for such a long, angular athlete, he can cut on a dime. And I think that that just flies in the face of conventional wisdom. Like, they see how long and angular an athlete he is, and they're like, I'll just herd him this way. He won't be able to cut around me. And then all of a sudden, he puts his foot in the ground, and he's by them, and they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, his agility for a man that long and angular is very, very rare. Like, you shouldn't be able to have change of direction skills like he has at that height and length, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, he's a high-cut athlete. And high-cut athletes can't always
change
as shifty, as like a LeSean McCoy, for example, who's built lower to the ground.
His change of direction is elite, no question about it. And he's
got elite speed as well.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. We go to Paul in Boston. Paul, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. You hit a nerve today, I have to say, with both talking points. Let's take the first one, the X factor. I really believe that the tight ends for both teams are the X factors in this game. You take for 2 years now, I don't think the Bills have had an answer for tight ends. I mean, you take a look at what Doyle did last weekend. He just ate Bills' lunch. And when you look at Baltimore, that's one of their go-to situations. I mean, Andrews can catch the ball over the middle, but they've got this other guy, the number 42, okay, a converted defensive lineman. And he's 6'3", he weighs 311 pounds, and he crushes defensive backs. It's almost as if Jackson's got seven offensive linemen on the field all the time, and it helps him to get around the ends, too. On the other side, I mean, if you take a look at what the Bills are going to face, I think they should go with two tight ends. And for the same reason, I think they should mirror what Baltimore is doing, because the defensive line for Baltimore, they could call them linebackers if they want to, but Judon is no linebacker. I mean, they put up five defensive linemen every time, and then they bring a free blitzer in. And the Bills just are not going to have an answer for that. Josh is going to be running for his life through the whole game unless they bring somebody else in to help out. It's just my opinion. I think definitely the tight ends for both teams are significant. Also, the other talking point, I'll make it real quick, but I've been living in my basement for 10 months now.
Right.
It's pretty nice. On a pool table, big screen TV, fridge, elliptical. But the conversation lately has been getting out of hand. And when you consider I'm the only one in the basement.
Yeah.
Well, really, that's all I had to say. Thank you.
Yeah,
it's good. Yeah.
Good call, Paul.
It's a good call.
For doing
thanks, Paul.
It.
You're right.
Tight ends, man. John Harbaugh notices Dawson Knox. He mentioned him in his conference call this week. So Knox and what he's been able to do here down the stretch has caught the eye of the Ravens head coach. They are not dismissing him out of hand. We know what Andrews can do for the Ravens attack, and we can talk about their fullback, who is kind of a freak of nature as well. But I think Knox is an intriguing X factor here, because even last week he was still forgotten. He's forgotten in the back of the end zone. I mean,
right.
I know he leaked late on the play,
right?
But he's left all by himself for a touchdown.
Yeah, the fullback he's talking about is Patrick Ricard,
yeah.
who's the 300-pound fullback. Here's the thing. I get it. Now, the Baltimore tight ends are a thing. There's a bunch of them. They play them a lot. They throw them the ball. And Lamar has not shown the propensity to throw the football to the edges of the field. He likes it between the numbers. That brings these tight ends into play. And for that reason, the Colts use them. I mean, the Ravens use them a ton. On the other side of it, yeah, Dawson Knox could do some stuff. He's going to get some reps in this game. But I don't want the Bills to feel like they've got to reinvent their offense to beat this team. They shouldn't. If they run their offense the way they want to run it and choose the matchups that they think they've got, I want to know of these guys who's going to be on – the Bills, like Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey, really good.
We know Marlon Humphrey, when they're in a nickel package, he goes into the slot. So he'll be the guy covering Beasley when Beasley's on the field, which conceivably is going to be most of the game. I mean, this is a team that plays 11 or 10 personnel 85% of the time. So Jimmy Smith, Marlon Humphrey, and
Marcus Peters,
thank you, are going to be the three corners on the field most of the game for them. And when they're going against 11 personnel, Humphrey is usually the slot guy.
Who's matching up with Gabriel Davis in four wide? And is Humphrey and Peters, are they going to win every rep on the same rep so that you don't have John Brown or Steph Diggs or Cole Beasley to throw to?
Yeah, Anthony Averett and Gabriel Davis. I like Gabriel Davis. I'm sorry.
Well,
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be forced to cover guys, and if the Bills go into the slot and they put, you know, Marlon Humphrey down in the slot, what happens if the slot is Gabe Davis and the outside guy is Steph Diggs?
Yeah,
how are they going to handle the trips formation off the tight end? With the offensive tackle and Steph Diggs lined up right there outside of him, and then Beasley and John Brown behind him, or vice versa, in whatever way. Or what are you going to do if you put Diggs by himself to the wide side, and you've got that cluster formation to the left, to the narrow side, to the boundary side? How are they going to match up with that? And the Bills should have a plan for all of that, and it'll depend on what, you know, the Baltimore Ravens feel their guys can do. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, the Ravens play ultra physical on the outside, on particularly in crucial downs. And if that's the case, you know, you've got to be ready for that. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to get around that, even for a coaching staff. But if they're going to do that and play ultra physical, they better hope that, you know, our guys, you know, the Bills don't get loose. I mean, because the Bills have carved up man coverage a ton. I mean, those have been big games with this man coverage thing.
Oh, if they want to play man coverage, I'm all about it. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced they're going to play a lot of it. I think they might play it in spots, but I don't think they're going to play it with any. If they watch the film of the Bills games this year, I want to believe that a veteran defensive coordinator like Wink Martindale is not going to play man coverage to any great degree.
Is Marlon Humphreys or Marcus Peters, are they better than Jalen Ramsey? Because
I would say no.
Because our boy Steph Diggs caught the touchdown given up by Jalen Ramsey, one-on-one,
yeah,
in the red zone with the boundary as a helper in the back of the end zone. He caught it right on him. I mean, he went and he ran a circle around him to do it. So if your guys are going to do that and they're going to do it for 60 minutes, okay, you win. That's fine.
Yeah.
You can win.
Break time for us. More of your phone calls when we return. We're asking you, what is the number one X factor for the Bills and the Ravens in this game besides those two quarterbacks? Let us know what you think. And if you have anything to help Steve and I with our pandemic shuttered boredom, we're taking any and all suggestions to pass the time in the evenings when it's pitch black out, 28 degrees, and we're stuck twiddling our thumbs. Take any and all suggestions. When we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live, Wednesday edition, asking you to give us what you believe to be the X factor for the Bills in this game, the X factor for the Ravens in this game, besides the two quarterbacks. Also coming up in a little over an hour, CBS Sports' Evan Washburn will be joining us. He is Baltimore-based, even though he did the wild card game up here last week for CBS. He is Baltimore-based and has his finger on the pulse of the Ravens, so we'll check in with him in the third hour of our show. But for now, we go back to the phones, and there we begin with Jim in Raleigh. Jim, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, guys. How you doing today? Thanks
good
for taking the call.
Sure.
Good.
So my X factor is going to be two things, and they're kind of tied together. One is offensive play calling, and the other is the looseness, relaxed attitude that we play with. If you look at the Miami game versus the Colts game, you know, in the Miami game, we were just out there playing loose, throwing the ball, you know, and then it seems in the Colts game, we tensed up. We were real tight. I know we had horrible field position and things like that, but and the play calling was a little bit more conservative. You know, and the running, I'm just so concerned that we, no matter what we do, we cannot get away from this need to run the ball or this pressure. Or, you know, when Zach Moss went down, I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but I was actually relieved. Oh, it's a running back. You know, we need to throw the ball and play aggressive and loose. That's my X factor. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. I will say that when you are backed up in your own end, it does alter your play calling. You have to be a little bit more conservative. I mean, some teams deep in their own end won't even run a pitch play for fear of a fumble going into your own end zone. So the play calling changes down there, just like it changes in two-minute drill when you have to throw the ball. So, yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but when you're backed up at your own five-yard line, it changes your play caller's outlook on how you're going to get out from the shadow of your own goalpost. So you're hoping for a little breathing room so then you can open it up and be more creative. But, yeah, I think unequivocally the team's field position in the first half impacted the creativity of Brian Daboll with his play calling, no question.
Yeah, and you can say, too, that once they got out of their own end zone there with in a two-minute drill with 1:42 left in the game, in the half, and they got away from their own end zone with that first Gabriel Davis catch, and they're out in their – then they kind of loosened up, and they let it – they kind of turned it loose.
Yeah. I mean, he was ripping shots.
And it was like bing, 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 bing down the field. Because of, I think, Brian Daboll's, you know, the knowledge – listen, there's only 2 minutes left. Let's go. You know, let's cut it loose a little bit. And I'll tell you this, Jim. Two things about what you said. I totally agree. I think the job of to me, the best way to do this is to make sure that your team does not think about the consequences or the gravity of the game or the consequence of a loss. What they need to do is go out and have fun playing. Cut it. Trust their discipline and their coaching. To put them in the right spots, they'll make the right plays, but you got to make them play free, loose, and easy with a lot of fun. If you can do that, they'll play better, no question about it. And secondly, I'm with you as well. They got to be who they are. Yeah. They don't need to run the ball 85% of the time and shorten the game to keep Lamar off the field or whatever. No. Do your thing, man. You've won 14 games this year. Turn it loose, you know, just be you. That's a big attitude thing, I think.
Do you think there's any credence to the thought that all of the talk for the better part, since they've clinched the division, basically, all of the talk has been the Bills haven't won a playoff game in 25 years? Hearing that for 2 weeks, do you think it crept into the minds of some players where maybe they were a little bit more tight last week than they had been for the better part of the regular season? I wonder if that got into the heads of some of the guys, like, oh man, we really got to win this game. I mean, this, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I wonder if
absolutely
guys got started gripping a little bit.
It could have. And
some of them, I agree with the caller. I thought some of them looked a little tight.
Both of these teams should be freed of that.
Yeah.
I mean, Lamar was carrying that around for 2 years, two full years, not being able to win a playoff game, being a starter. Josh, you know, this was his second shot at it as a starter.
I don't think it impacted him, but I think there were some other players that were feeling that a
little
bit. Maybe.
And I think it's a point where if that's the case, it's probably the case for both teams.
Yeah.
And I think
it's gone now.
Yeah, you've got to come out and just relax. And I think you hear a lot of guys I've heard a lot of guys say this, you know, like Terry Bradshaw, he won 4 Super Bowls, and he says, the reason I played so well in the Super Bowls, he goes, I walked out on that tunnel, I thought, man, I do not want to lose. I'm so afraid to lose this game. And if you get to that point where it forces you to go for it all the time because of your fear of losing, that's a good place to be. Because I think in these games,
some guys can compartmentalize that well. Others can't.
Right. Other guys got to think, like, this game doesn't mean anything. Let's just go play and have fun.
Yeah.
That's the way they get. But however you get there to the point where you're going to play fast, loose, and free and easy, that's where you've got to get. That's where you've got to get, in my opinion. Because I'll tell you this, I struggled with it. Obviously. You know, I went to 4 of those Super Bowls. We won a lot of playoff games. And I played pretty good in a lot of big games. But the Super Bowl, I mean, I did a couple of things, I guess. But, you know, it was a point where you just got to go for it.
Yeah.
You always play your best when you're going for it. And some teams struggle with that when they think there's too much at stake.
Break time for us, but more of your phone calls in the second hour of the program. It's a wide open hour for you, so we want to hear from you at 803-0550 and on the tweet sheet at OneBillsLive. Give us your X factor for the Bills. Give us your X factor for the Ravens, besides the two quarterbacks squaring off in this divisional playoff round. Steve and I back for hour number 2 of the program in a moment here on OneBillsLive, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.